Year, all year, on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, we've been praying over a jar of names. You know, some of you have given us names to pray over and everything. And we're seeing results from those prayers last year. And so one of the things that we heard just this past week, I think it was, Doug's mom gave us a phone call. And Doug's nephew, who has been grown up in the mission field, they lived in New Zealand, in Czech Republic, in Switzerland. Now they live in Colorado. But his parents, they are YWAM training centers, Youth with a Mission is what it's called. So his father is been in that his whole life, I guess 30-some years and all that. So they grew up in that. Well, he had just rebelled. I mean, before he even graduated high school, he just totally rebelled and just don't want to hear anything about God, don't want anybody to talk to him about, you know, he's doing all this stuff. Well, we just put his name in the prayer jar and got a call this week that he is going to do a DTS, which is a discipleship training program, with YWAM in the next couple of months. He's going into the mission field. He has come all the way back and gotten right into ministry. And we just thank God for that. Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And so we just see, you know, and now would be a good time, too, to tell you about the CDs we have in the back, because we strategically prayed for him because he is our family. And we know that none of our household have to not go to heaven. They know me. They need to go to heaven. And so we have those CDs in the back, part one and part two. Make sure you get both of them. And if you have family members you'd like to pray for, people that are in another state that know that they need to pray for folks, send it to them. It's all free. Just go ahead and take some and give it away, send it away. But it does work. But we have to take the time and put the effort into it and actually laser beam it, you know? We can't just let it, okay, well, I prayed and nothing's been happening. We've been praying. It's been like a couple years he was on his own there. And just not just, you know, when you grow up as a preacher, well, maybe you don't, but me, I know. Growing up as a preacher's kid, you
could be. He got filled with the Holy Spirit back in a meeting in Illinois, and he was really on fire. But then, you know, sometimes the devil can try to put a wet blanket on the fire and try to put that fire out. Yeah,
and he went pretty much totally the opposite way. But today, he is delivered again and going into the call of God for his life.
Someone say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good.
Pray for the kids.
Amen. All right, kids, we're going to get ready to dismiss for Kids Life. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for our kids and our teachers, Lord. We ask that your hand be upon them today, Father. Lord, open their minds and fill their hearts with good things from heaven, with revelation and insight and understanding, Father. And just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is a short little story. He said, when my dad, a World War II vet, died, he had a military burial with a color guard, taps, and a 21-gun salute. A few days later, I learned from our babysitter how our 4-year-old daughter, Grace, had described the scene. I went to a funeral. We went to a church. Then we went to the cemetery, and everyone cried and cried. And then they shot Grandpa, and it was over. That's a perspective from a kid. And then this one is called The Answer. A new pastor moved into town and went out one Saturday to visit his parishioners. All went well until he came to one house. It was obvious that someone was home, but no one came to the door, even after he had knocked several times. Finally, he took out his card and wrote on the back, Revelation 3:20, and stuck it in the door. The next day, as he was counting the offering, he found his card in the collection plate. Below his message was the notation Genesis 3:10. Revelation 3:20 reads, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him and he with me. Genesis 3:10 reads, And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So it was a good thing they didn't open up the door. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And I want you to look at verse 23, John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto a life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour. But Jesus made a statement here. He said, unless a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will not bring any fruit. You know, you can have a handful of seed in your hand, and it's not going to produce anything for you. What you need to do is you need to take that seed, and you need to plant it in the ground, and it literally dies. But in its death, it brings forth life. And the Bible says, you know, when a seed is planted, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn of the ear. And you don't know how that happens. Anybody know how corn grows? We just know it does, doesn't it? Can anybody give me the scientific fact of how it grows? The farmer puts it in the ground, and it grows. Well, see, you are a walking storehouse of seeds. And when a seed leaves your hand, it never leaves your life, but it goes into your future. Isn't that amazing? So the seeds, what am I talking about when I say seeds? I'm just saying tithes and offerings. And then this church, we just receive them anytime during the service. We have a planter in the back where you can put your seed there on the envelope, plant it in the ground. It's going to die, but in its death, it's going to produce much fruit. And God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He will cause men to give into your bosom. How many believe that's true? If you believe that's true, say amen. Amen. So I encourage you to be a planter of seeds and watch God multiply it. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about overcoming trials in life. You know, we face trials and tests and trouble in life, don't we? In all walks of life. There are things that occur in life that sometimes aren't pleasant. Sometimes they bring sorrow. Sometimes there's difficulty and tragedy and challenges. But we have access to information, hallelujah, and expertise that can help us overcome any situation you face. You have access to information and expertise that no matter what the trial, no matter what the trouble, no matter what the question, Jesus is the answer. Now, what was the question? Jesus is the answer. Say, Jesus is the answer. Doesn't matter what you face. He's an expert in every area. If he can bring Jesus out of a tomb on the third day, what can he do for you? Say this with me. Say, I am an overcomer. No matter what I face, it can't keep me down. It can't hold me back. It can't stop me. That's the attitude you got to have. You got to have an overcoming attitude. See, we can benefit from Jesus' instruction and expertise. And he gave us some important tools. that help us overcome. And he tells us, you know, if he overcame, he shows us how we can overcome also. And for the past couple weeks, we've been talking about the blood. And I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. It's one of the scriptures we mentioned last week, but I want to expound on it a little bit because you're going to help me preach this message. How are you going to do that? You're going to share your testimony. Pastor, I'm afraid to speak. Doesn't matter. It's not about you. Amen? It's about Jesus. It's about someone might benefit from how God saved you, how God touched you. Amen? It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God, which is much bigger than one person. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, talking about a group of people who overcame in the midst of trials and death. We ain't seen trials yet. But there's going to be a trial coming called the tribulation, and you don't want to be in it. And if you're in it, you better be strong in faith. Listen to this. And they overcame him. Everybody say they overcame him. How did they do it? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They love that, and they love not their life unto death. So God gave us these tools to overcome. Now, this isn't all the tools in the tool chest. Amen? We've got a lot more tools than just these, but I just want to focus on these today. The blood of the Lamb, we've been talking about for weeks. So I'm not going to talk much about it, but I am going to talk about the word of your testimony. Amen? Say, I've got a testimony. Say, I've got a testimony. Well, you say, Pastor, I never did drugs. I was a good person. Yeah, but you've been delivered from death. You've been delivered from sin. That's a testimony. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. You have a testimony. You have something to say. Amen? What does it mean to testify? It means to give a report, to be a witness. It means to share what you've heard, what you see, and what you've known. Amen? And your testimony could be the difference between a life sentence or a death sentence for an individual. Amen? Because sometimes when we go through trials and tests, we think, oh, we're the only one that's ever gone through this. Believe me, we're not that special. What do I mean by that? You'd be surprised how many people have gone through the same thing or something similar. Every one of us face trials and tests. What kind of a testimony would you have if you didn't have a test? You'd have a moaning. So if you want a testimony, you've got to pass a test. We don't want people going, I'm only around here. Someone say amen. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So if you want to overcome things in life, you're going to have to do it with the blood of the Lamb, but you're going to have to say something. You're going to have to use your voice. Say, I have a voice. Let me ask you this question. You don't have to raise your hand, but are you a voice or are you an echo? John the Baptist, when he came preaching, he said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm not just echoing what someone else said. I have a voice. God wants you to raise your voice today. He wants you to shout it on the mountaintop. He wants you to get on the rooftops and tell someone what Jesus has done for you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Here Paul was preaching, teaching a young minister, and he said this. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Profess, whereunto you are also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Notice that the fight that he's talking about, we are in a war of words. It's a war of words. If you're going to fight the good fight of faith, part of that fight is professing a good profession before a person, right? What does that verse say? Before many witnesses. Well, Pastor, I told someone what Jesus did for me and they rejected me. No, they didn't reject you. They rejected Jesus. You know, sometimes people ask me, what do you do, Pastor, when you pray for someone and they for healing and they die? You just say next. Why do I say that? Because it doesn't change God's word on healing. Because some person dies, it doesn't change God's word. I'm still going to testify. I'm still going to tell people that Jesus is a healer. It doesn't matter. But in order to fight the good fight, notice a good fight. You don't come away from a good fight. Oh, whoo, I was just in a good fight. I don't think that would have been a good fight. A good fight is one you come away as a winner. A good fight. You've got to fight this fight of faith. Part of it is how you speak. Part of it, he says, professed a good profession before many witnesses. Many. Everybody say many. Sometimes you don't always have to say words. You can also let your life speak for itself. Amen? When you're in the workplace and Satan turns up the pressure, he turns up the heat, and you're in the midst of chaos, how you react can be a testimony. There were three young Hebrew children by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were exiled into the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And he put out a decree. He said, I want everybody, when you hear the music, he built this golden statue of himself. How vain can you get? Not only that, he wanted people to bow down to it and to worship it. Say, I'm not going to bow. So everybody in Babylon, when they played the music, everybody was supposed to bow and worship this statue, this idol. And these three teenagers, everybody say teenagers, while everybody was bowing down, there were three people standing up. Give me three people stand up right now. Three people. Okay, good. Three people out of a multitude had a voice. And their voice spoke. And when they stood before the king, he said, maybe you didn't understand that when I said play the music, you're supposed to bow to my statue of me. Worship me. Worship this idol that man created. Stood up once again. Music played. And they came before the king. You may sit down. Thank you. They came before the king. And they said, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. They said, our God will deliver us even if you don't throw us in. They went before, they stood up knowing that God would deliver them. And guess what? They were thrown into the fire. But guess what? Based on their testimony, someone showed up in the fire with them. It was a fourth man. It looked like the Son of God. And they were dancing in the fire. And they came out. They didn't even smell like smoke. You talk about the power of a testimony? Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. He said, we're going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because three people testified. Don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy 26, verse 17. He says, declare the Lord is your God, and you walk in his ways. If you're in an atmosphere where there's a lot of cussing going on, do a lot of praising. As much as they do cussing, say, praise the Lord. You'll pretty soon find out that the cussing will stop. They go, whoa, whoa. If the devil gets loud, you get louder. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 8. See, I'm teaching you how to do a testimony, and then we're going to testify. Amen? Look at Luke 12, verse 8. Also, I say unto you, Jesus is talking here. Whoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of God, or the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Notice, he said, he wants you to confess him before men. But if you deny him before men, he's going to deny you. How many know that you don't get favor if the Lord denies you? You don't get the blessing if the Lord denies you. You got to use your mouth. It's part of fighting the good fight of faith. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Hallelujah. When you're confessing on this end, he's taking your confession and bringing it to the Father, and the Father's sending the Holy Spirit to make it happen. But now if you're confessing negative things, the devil is taking those negative words and he's sending his demons to make it happen. Give you something to think about for a moment. So you got to fight the fight with words. Number two, your mouth expresses your heart. What's in your heart? Your words reveal your character. Do you honor God or the world in your heart? Whatever you honor in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. You're like a garden hose. If you turn that hose on and you don't have something on the other end to hold back the water, guess what? You might get wet. You ever have that? You forget that you don't have anything else on the other end of the hose. You turn it on and that water's going, getting you all wet. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We're talking about overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Say, I have a testimony. Well, tell it. Every time you tell your testimony, you make the devil nervous. He can't stop you. Do you realize that he cannot shut you up? Because all you have to do is say Jesus and you make his knees start buckling. One word out of your mouth, Jesus, and it'll send the devil running. And if he didn't hear you the first time, say it again. And if he didn't hear you the second time, say it again. He's going to get the message if you keep saying it. Amen? Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 8. 15, verse 8. He's talking about the Pharisees or hypocrites, play actors. They say one thing and do another. He said, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship the teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. Now what goes into the mouth defiles, not what goes into the mouth defiles, but that which comes out of the mouth. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Verse 11, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. We're defiled not by what we put in our mouth, but by what comes out. Well, how do you clean up your mouth? Well, you got to clean up your heart. How do you clean up your heart? You got to clean up your mind. How do you clean up your mind? You got to get in the Word. Renew the mind, because the mind is the control center of the body. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you want to change your actions, you got to change the way you think. If you're in a situation and your response is constantly negative, constantly combative, you need to go back to the drawing board and you need to change some things. If I had blueprints of measurements of this door, and let's just say the frame was 10 feet and the door was 8 feet, it would be insane for me to try to keep putting an 8-foot door on a 10-foot frame. You know what insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I could try to squeeze that 8-foot door on that frame. It ain't going to work. I've got to get another door, and I've got to get one that fits the frame. Sometimes we got to change our words. You got to change what goes into your heart. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. One time, there were these two pine trees, and they stood tall, full of green pines, and they covered, and in between them was this little scrub bush. Now, this little scrub bush was actually a peach tree, but it hadn't produced any peaches on it yet. And it kept telling the pine trees, it says, I am a peach tree. They're looking at it, look at you, you scrawny little thing. You ain't no peach tree. The other pine tree said, yeah, look at you. All I see is limbs. I don't see any peaches. Now, would it be wise for that peach tree to keep trying to convince the pine trees that it's a peach tree? No. That peach tree just needs to grow, and eventually something is going to appear on the leaves. It's going to be peaches. And the pine trees are going to say, you are a peach tree. So if you want to change the fruit, you got to change the tree. Too many times we deal with the fruit and not the root. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you've got a negative heart, negative words are going to come out of your mouth. And the only way to change that is to wash it in the water of the Word. You know, if you're going to win a prize fight, you better do some training before you get into that ring. You're not going to win a prize fight if you go into the ring the first time not having trained. Number one, you're going to get wore out. Number two, you're going to get whooped. And number three, you're going to get knocked out. You don't face an enemy without preparing for battle. How many know we have an enemy? Coming to church is preparation. Reading your Bible is preparation. Praying is preparation. Worship is preparation. Meditating is preparation. It gives you everything you need. It's like a multivitamin. You take that thing, it's got everything in it, it'll make you strong. Are you there or you gone home? Amen. So it's okay to respond. Unless, of course, you're thinking. Notice verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure. How did that good treasure get there? It was put there. How does it? He dug in the Word. It's like an oil rig. They dig down into the earth and out comes a gusher, and they put a cap on it, and they're able to produce oil, barrels and barrels of oil a day. Hallelujah, you need to set up an oil rig on the Word of God, and you need to dig, and you need to drill, and you need to get in there, because eventually you're going to hit a gusher, because this book is full of treasure. It's the most valuable thing you will ever hold in your hands. This created the universe. Right here. God's Word created the universe. Right here. You hold the power of the universe in your hands. You hold the thing that made it. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Everybody say, good produces good. You could use that old phrase, garbage in, garbage out. You don't want to have a testimony that you've been hanging around the dump. How can you tell if someone's been hanging around the dump? Whoa, you stink, man. Yeah, I've just been hanging around the dump. How come you've been hanging around the dump? But that's what we do with our words, isn't it? Hanging around negative words is like hanging around a toxic dump. How many know that if you get close to something that's toxic, it's going to affect you? You get around something that's nuclear, you don't have the right protection, you become radioactive. That stuff gets on you. Man, I gotta get going here. Notice verse 36. So a good man produces good things, an evil man produces evil things. Verse 36, but I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I don't know how God's going to do that. Maybe he'll show us a video or audio streaming live. Every idle word that we speak. You know what idle words are? It's words that don't go anywhere. They don't produce anything. You know, if your car is in idle, you put it in neutral, it's running, it's got the capability of moving forward, it's got the power, it's got everything you need, but you're idle. You hit the gas and it's always going to make a big noise, but it's not going to go anywhere. You want to use your words to change things. We're in a war of words. Why do you think God gave us a book full, 1,186 chapters of words? Verse 37, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you're condemned. Your testimony. Your testimony. You know, I don't know if, you know, they when stereos back a few years ago, hi-fi was really popular, you know. Well, test hi-fi. You got to talk about your test in terms of hi-fi. You've got to get it out with boldness and power and authority. You've got to magnify on what God has done, not what the devil has done. You know, James tells us if you can control your whole tongue, you can control your whole body. If it works for a horse, how much more will it work for us? You know, let's take some advice from Mr. Ed of that TV show. Did you know that you create things with words? You have to use your words to paint a beautiful and a positive picture. I like the pictures that Jesus painted. He walked into Jairus' daughter. Everybody thought she is dead. He immediately changed the picture. He said, this daughter isn't dead. She's just asleep. They were shocked. They said, what are you talking about? We saw her breathe her last breath. She died. They were all wailing her death. And he comes in and changes the picture. She's not dead. She's asleep. Oh yeah? He just touches her hand and life came to her and she got up. He said, give her something to eat. Hallelujah. Your words can change the picture. You don't like what you see? Change what you say. Testify. Come on, someone, testify. Talk about how good God is. Talk about how big God is. Don't talk about the problem. Talking about the problem ain't going to change it. But when you talk about God, it activates heaven on your side. It unleashes his power. It'll cause a change to come in. Elijah, he went before King Ahab in 1 Kings 17. He said, it's not going to rain except at my word. Who do you think you are, Elijah? I'm a prophet of God. I'm standing on the word. And it didn't for 3.5 years. It did not rain. But then when he spoke the word, clouds began to form and rain came. That's how powerful. Your words can create things. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Are you painting a death picture or a life picture? Both death and life is produced by words. What did Jesus say to Lazarus? Lazarus, come out of the grave if you want to. Okay. No, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Thank God he used Lazarus' name, because who knows what came out of the grave if he just said, come forth. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. That's right before Matthew, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. We got to use our words to paint beautiful and positive pictures. Everybody say beautiful and positive. That means you don't tear down one another, you build each other up. That means you don't gossip about one another, you pray. Anybody wants to tell you bad news, your response should be, let's pray. If they don't want to pray, they're just there to gossip, send them out the door. Say, I'm not a trash can. I'm serious. The devil is sneaky. He's subtle. He's a deceiver. He'll try to get in there. He tries to weasel his way in. Don't let the snake come in your house. Kill it. How do you kill the snake? When it raises its head. Whoo. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. Everybody say spoke often to one another. What are they doing? They're testifying. It's people who feared the Lord, who loved God, who walked in righteousness. They spoke often to one another. And the Lord, hearing, hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You don't think that God's listening to what you say? Oh, yes, he is. Matter of fact, he's recording the good things you say about him. Oh, yeah, that was good. He's writing it down in a book. People who feared the Lord, they spoke often to one another. Husbands and wives, speak the word to one. I mean, Fiona and I, we preach to one another. She gets this revelation and I give her the word for the revelation. We go back and forth. Hallelujah. We speak the word to one another often, every day. Well, for single people, you got to find someone that you can speak the word with every day. You know, and after all, God created the world by saying he said, God said, and it was, whatever he said came to be. We're created in his image. We have that same ability. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, Muhammad Ali, He spoke boldly. He said, I am going to be I'm the champ. Before he was the champ. He spoke, he was the champ. He was the champ. And what happened? He became the champ. He became what he said. How does that work? It's a spiritual law. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to make sure it's not 2 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians, where it says the same spirit of faith. Second Corinthians, I thought it was that one. Thank you. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Everybody say we, having the same spirit of faith, what does the spirit of faith do? According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. The spirit of faith, according as it is written. Notice, he speaks what was written. He didn't say, according to my opinion. He didn't say, according to the doctor's reports. He didn't say, according to what my pastor said, according as it is written. Say, as it is written. So he speaks, he believes what is written, and he spoke what is written. I have spoken. Abraham, when he started calling himself Abraham, him and Sarah had a date and Isaac came out. The same spirit of faith. Do you realize that when David fought Goliath, there was an exchange of words? David said, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you with the name of the Lord. There was a war of words when David faced Goliath. Are you going to let your giant speak over you? David got right in his face. He looked at a 9-foot guy. David was probably, I don't know if he was 5 foot yet. He was a teenager. Taylor, come here for a second. Stand right here. I'm Goliath. That's David. He didn't look at the size. He didn't look at his armor. He looked at God. Thank you. And his words, David's testimony, was what defeated Goliath. He said, he was bold to proclaim God. And he laid that giant flat with one rock in his forehead. It was because of what he said. There are giants that we face. What are you saying to your giant? Oh, that's my giant. This is my beautiful giant. This is my pet giant. Well, we carry our giant around. We want to praise it. Oh, this is my giant. This is my giant. Woo, yeah, I like you, giant. You're so good. No! He made a war of words and David won the battle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the spirit of faith. You have the same spirit of faith that David did. You have the same spirit of faith when Joshua said, "Son, stand still so that I can finish this battle." Joshua made the sun stand still, and NASA can prove it. NASA can prove that what occurred in Joshua was real. Because later, I think it was in Hezekiah's day, they made the sundial turn up. So it made the difference for what Joshua did. The same spirit of faith. And you know, salvation comes through confession. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead and you confess Him as Lord, the Bible says, you are saved. Hallelujah. Salvation comes through confession. It comes through a testimony. When you say, Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I need you to be Lord. Take over. Jesus will come in. He will take you seriously. And then some of us will say, "Oh, what did I do? I can't let that go." Now, when you testify, here are some things that you need to do when you testify. Number one, you need to reveal what you see, what you hear, and what you know. That's all God asks. If you don't know anything, if you haven't seen anything, if you haven't heard anything, then be quiet. Pretty simple, isn't it? Number two, what was your test? This is what my test was. This is what happened. But we don't stay there. Number three, what did God do? This was my test, but this is what God did. How were you changed? And number four, let your story glorify God. Let me go over that again. You need to reveal what you see, hear, and know. Also experience. What was your test? What did God do? How were you changed? And glorify God. The man who was possessed with the legion of demons in Mark chapter 5, he got delivered. And as Jesus was going into the boat, he said, Lord, I want to come with you. And Jesus said, no, I want you to go and tell what the Lord has done for you. Do you realize it was the testimony of the man who was possessed with legion that prepared Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood to receive from Jesus? Read it, Mark chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 20, Jesus said he went back to where he was. And then he talks about Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. It was the man who was possessed by legion, his testimony prepared the way for people to receive the word of Jesus. The woman at the well, she went and told all the men in John chapter 4. She went and told all the men. All the men of Samaria came out. And they said, now that we hear him for ourselves, we believe. Because you told us, her testimony brought the town out. And Jesus spent 2 days there teaching. John chapter 4. How about Mary Magdalene? Every time her name was mentioned, Jesus said, this was her in whom seven devils were cast out. What a testimony. Praise God, I was delivered from seven devils. Glory to God. She was a mess. But she was delivered. Thank God. Now, are you ready to help me? Are you ready to help me? Okay, that's a couple people now. Are you ready to help me? You're almost there. Let's try this again. Ready? On three. Are you ready to help me? Yeah. Okay. Now, let's put what we've heard into practice. I've told you how to testimony. I told you the importance of a testimony. Now we're going to have the rubber meet the road. All right? Who will be bold to come up? My lovely wife, Fiona, is going to help me because she is gifted at this. Yeah. So who wants to testify? Who's got to testify? Just come on up. Hallelujah. You're going to see preaching in action.
As a lot of you know, I was raised as a missionary's kid. I went through a series of time when I got angry with God because my father died and I just didn't understand that. But in that, God showed me he was my father. And the last couple of years when I returned my life over to God, he has been there for me. There was a time when I went through divorce. It was hard, but it was right after I made a commitment to God. And this is what I told God. I can't live any longer just being here, just being there hoping and things. I need to be doing something. You need to get me where I need to be in you. I was also praying for unconditional love. Now, my thinking was, okay, you know, he's going to open up doors for me to work with the drug addicts and prostitutes and all those, you know, those things that we have a tendency to put on the more evil side of life. I went through a divorce. Through the thing, he taught me unconditional love and his mercy. A few years after that, my daughter was killed. He taught me unconditional love, mercy, and forgiveness. Hallelujah. And I can stand here today to tell you that every time that things came up and I went to God and would not let Satan have the the authority over me, because he has no authority over Amen. Me. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I stand before you a child of God, a daughter of the King of Kings. And just recently, I've learned some more authority positions that I've had that I've been taking. And I tell you what, God is there. Amen. His word does not return void.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now just lift up your hands and
Thank
praise
you,
the Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When they finish, just raise your hands up and in praise. Glory to God.
Hello, everyone. I'm here to share a little bit with you all about what God has done for me in my life. There was a time in my life when I used drugs for 10 years and got very, very messed up. And it's a miracle what happened, because a friend of mine that I went to school with became a pastor without me knowing, and he too was addicted. And to see him being a pastor shocked me very much. And he shared with me Jesus. And, being raised Catholic, I always believed in God. So he shared with me what Jesus did for him and how he could do it for me. And, you know, being single and living with mom and not having any direction, I really thought of what he said. And I took his advice and went into a program called Teen Challenge. And in 1984, I stepped into the doors of Teen Challenge and I became a Christian.
Amen.
And God changed my life from that moment on. And I've been drug-free and sober, thank God, now for 24 years.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I give him all the glory and all the honor and the praise. And I wouldn't be here today if I would have kept going the way I was going. And I have so much to be thankful for. And I just, he's so important for everybody. And I thank him so much. And I thank him for giving me this opportunity to share with y'all just what he has done for my life. I have a daughter that's 16. That's a wonderful daughter. And I have so many things to be thankful for. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here standing here telling you all what he does for Amen. Me and continues to do for me. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
And, you know, our church supports Teen Challenge as a mission work. Amen.
My name is Dennis Teetson. I've been sinful pretty much my life. I've been through two marriages. And I've been a painter. I was in prison for 6 years of my life. When I got out the last time, I went through the discipleship program in Lebanon Rescue Mission. Graduate through there, I thought I was really doing good, but I fell back into sin. And I was in the turmoil for a long time. Then I was working at Mary Steaks in here in Lebanon, working in there, and a lot of people there had really negative thinking, and I was really got into the negative thinking. Then my truck broke down, and I didn't have, so I was hitchhiking, walking back and forth to work. And then this other guy, he was getting all the overtime and stuff, and I need more money to get my truck going. It costs a lot of money. And then I'm getting bitter and angry because he's getting all this overtime and I'm not getting it. And it really got me very angry. Then I see an opportunity where I can steal some copper to make some money. And I knew it had an alarm system and everything, but I just didn't look at it that way. And as soon as I started taking, the alarm went off. It just hit me like, what are you doing? How stupid can you be? You're going to go right back to prison. Then I left there and ran home, got my hands and knees, started praying to God. I said, God, I cannot go back to prison. There's no way I can go back to prison. So then I prayed to him, and then I come to church here, and I started fasting. I never fasted before, and then I found out they're fasting here, and that's just like, wow. So then I just kept going back to work, and I said, I know they know it. They got to know there's cameras and stuff. And one day they came up, and I knew the guy was coming and coming there. And I had a phone number for attorney because I knew they, you know, the attorney always tells you, don't confess nothing. Never say nothing. Then they come to me and start talking to me, and I just told the truth, and the truth set me free.
Amen.
And that's the truth.
Hallelujah.
I just, it was so amazing, and they didn't charge me. I lost my job, but I didn't get charged, and I didn't go back to prison. Hallelujah. That was so awesome.
And anyone else?
Anyone else? This is your time to get back at the devil.
I know Mr. Ron's got a testimony back there. I'll come to you, Mr. Ron. You want to testify?
You're seeing the power of a testimony in action.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been in the hospital most of my life for various health issues, and I'm a diabetic, and the Lord's healed me from that, and I was in Good Samaritan Hospital twice for health issues, and now I'm healed. Praise the Lord. I've been a Christian 36 years, going on 37, and the Lord has given me a ministry, a radio station ministry. And I'm going to, after I get my GED, I'm going to get the first two stations started. And I have a beautiful mother and a beautiful family and a beautiful church family. And I'm going to be teaching. Lord has done a lot of things in my life. I thank him for everything. And we got our family reunion flyer yesterday. And I'm going to teach four scriptures at the family reunion service, four healing scriptures at our family reunion service in Harntown, Virginia, at Tabernacle Baptist Church.
No, just kidding. No, but you know what, Mr. Ron here, he just had kidney stuff going on in the hospital and a whole bunch of stuff, but you'd never be able to get a negative answer out of Ron's mouth, whatever he's going through. His mama has to ask him about if he's in pain. He would never tell you he's in pain.
I forgot to say that God has delivered and healed me from drug use, and I praise him for that.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.
Any Does that inspire
testimony?
You?
Oh, sorry.
I, as you probably most of you know, I'm 2.5 years post-cancer. Pretty healthy guy growing up. Did some crazy things when I was younger, but I really got into running. And I was did some marathons, and I was in really, really, really good shape. Didn't smoke, didn't drink for many, many years, and all of a sudden, they found out I had cancer in my tonsil, and it was pretty severe to have happen to you. I didn't really understand it. I know it could have made me bitter, but I just didn't even, I don't know. It never really became a part of who I was. After going through all the treatment and actually getting over the treatment's pretty intense. I've never really wanted to be like known as somebody like wearing the cancer bracelet. You know, I do have one, but it's blue and it's on his hand. It's not Lance Armstrong. Actually, it says God Strong, and it's got the Ephesians on it, scripture in Ephesians. But a lot of people have come to our family now who are going through cancer, and they want to talk to us. And I'm not really that big on talking about it. But I realize there's a reason I'm still here. And it's to help other people through. And I guess my testimony is that God did get me through it. but it's through it to use it in a way to help other people and to bring other people to Him. And if something's happened in your life that you don't understand, and it really is a position where you can go either negative about it or positive about it and have it like either destroy the rest of your life or actually use it as a tool to save others or to help others, I would definitely suggest going God's way. Because things, you may have to do things a little different than you planned, but you're still here. You know, and I used to stand on Psalm 23, going through the valley of the shadow of death. I was going through it. I never realized how bad it was until Diane told me, but it was stage 4. I could have died very easily. The guy who found it said, I don't want to really give you months prognosis, saying that maybe a couple months you'll be gone. But I went through it, and I never saw in that scripture where God says, once you get through the valley of shadow of death, you turn around and walk back through it. When you're through it, you look behind you, and you bring others with you.
Yes.
Amen. And God will get the glory, but I'm here as a tool for that. So God bless him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the power of a testimony. Oh, one more. Yeah, go ahead.
As a young man, not quite grown, I heard gospel preached every weekend. I went to a little country church made of wood. Everything about it was wood. The benches, homemade wood. The floor, homemade wood. Everything. I heard the gospel. It made me know that I was a sinner, lost. One night, when I went to the altar. Down in front, there I prayed. I didn't know what to say, didn't know what I was doing. But later I learned that what happened with me that night was godly sorrow. Took over. I cried like a child. Big puddle of tears on a wood floor. Big puddle. Prayed. Repented. Made it right with them. Then, people still to this day, if they ever see me or hear that I'm in the area where it happened, they still, to this day, they'll tell me that the church is still there. The stain of the puddle of tears are still on the floor. Now, I want you to know that I love my God. I love my Jesus. And I love him with all my spirit. I went on to receive sanctified life, and then I went on baptism of the Holy Ghost and a beautiful prayer language in my life. Then went on to be called to ministries. And from then to now, I've given up my whole life just because he wanted me in that way. I thank God. I praise him. I glorify his holy name forever and forever and forever. God bless you.
Amen. I think we have a mix of everything in here. Everyone has a testimony. It doesn't matter what our life has been like. We all have a testimony.
Exactly.
Amen.
Now, your challenge is to practice telling your testimony to others. Amen. For others.
Oh, goodness. Very good. Well, I come to Hershey, Pennsylvania 9 years ago from the city of brotherly love. And we weren't showing too much love. From the age of 14, I was drinking. Age of 14, all the way up until 13, so 16 years. I had been drinking drugs, being in violent things. My best friend was shot in the head and killed. I almost lost my life 2 times. Beat with baseball bats, stabbed with a butcher knife in the chest. Doctor told me, that's all right. That's all right. There's a good part. There's a good ending to this. Let's get through all the bad stuff first. Because God allows us to go through these things so that many will be saved. And I believe in my heart that God allowed me to experience all of these things to a point where my lovely wife was saying, does he have to look like Frankenstein before he comes to the Lord? Because she was praying all through the times I was stabbed, beat with baseball bats and everything else. She was praying for me during those times. But what God did to set me free was to put in my wife's heart never to give up praying. My wife prayed for me for a long time. And one day, I guess about 20 years ago, this Wednesday, my birthday, I'll be 50 years old on my birthday. So 20 years ago, when I was 30, I was hungover from partying, celebrating my birthday, and my wife was praying, called a pastor over. Pastor prayed with me. A still small voice came into my heart saying, trust me, give it to me, I'll take it. Now you got to understand, I was probably half high at the time, on drugs, hungover from the alcohol, and this voice is coming by me. And I was involved in some illegal activity as well. And aside from that, with my friends from down South Philly, if anyone knows about Philadelphia, South Philly is where the mafia is located. And I had debt. I was connected with these people. And he said, trust me. So what I did, I trusted him. I said, you are the God that created the heavens and the earth. You can take all of this from me. He said, trust me. I trusted him. I put everything symbolically in my hands and gave it up to him. The drugs, the alcohol, the debt, the illegal things I was doing and involved in, and gave it up to the Lord. From that day forth, Never smoked even a cigarette, never had drug rehab, never had to go to a drug rehab, never had to go to Alcoholics Anonymous because they were out there and, you know, they were talking about 12 steps. Well, I made the first step. I made the first step to Jesus, and Jesus took it all. He took it all in a very unique way. I never had to go to those other places. But better yet, the things that I was involved in South Philly, God works in a mysterious way. He allowed my connection in South Philly to hit the lottery for $10 million. When that happened, the guy says, don't worry about it, because once I had changed my life, I started reading my Bible, and everyone would see me, and they would see how I was carrying myself. My character was changed, and they knew I was devoted to the Lord. And the guy, I came to the guy, I knew I owed this guy some money. And he says, you know what, Mike? You go on with God. Your debt is paid. You go ahead. Don't worry about anything. I said, glory to God, because I tell you what. And that was the hardest thing. I used to work with you're talking about foul language at work. I used to work in on the docks in South Philly. And, you know, language is really bad, really brutal. But you're right. If you start praising God, when you hear those, it is a testimony. So my testimony in praising God and reading my Bible and being devoted, you know, they would go around and say, where's Mike Randolph? Oh, he's probably reading his Bible somewhere. Don't worry about that. That was the testimony that this guy that I was connected with saw, and he said, you know what? Don't worry about a thing. You go ahead and you serve your God. You do what you have to do. So let's give God praise. Oh, hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. So then, you know, for those who have been forgiven for much, they love much. And I love the Lord with all my heart and all my strength. So I began to tell others. I could talk to the drug addicts, the criminals, the people on the street. Matter of fact, I used to go and preach on the street. We used to go to ships that would come into the dock of Philadelphia, and we used to come and speak to people from other countries. I worked with a guy who had a footlocker of tracks from all over the world. And we used to go and preach in the gospel. I've seen many people come to the Lord. And what was bothering me was, Lord, I can use those tools that you allowed me to work with, the criminal element. We all have sinned and fall short. Help me to reach the lawyer and the doctor, or those people who are self-righteous and think that, you know, they haven't done anything wrong. So my daughter went to a Christian school. We got into this church, and the Lord allowed me to go through Dr. D. James Kennedy's Evangelism Explosion Program, where I learned how to minister the gospel to those who are, quote unquote, thinking that they're righteous and above reproach. And I was able to learn how to witness to them. And we used to go around in the outskirts of Philadelphia. I was from the inner city, and I went to the outskirts. Beautiful homes, big homes, all mansions. And the one time I went, and this big guy came. He was he owned a construction company. And I sat down with him in my car, and we talked about having the assurance that you would go to heaven. Because there's two questions that they teach you. Is what do you put in your trust to go to heaven? A lot of people put it in a whole lot of things. Oh, well, my father and mother went to church, and we went to church every day, and I do good works. I read my Bible. I do a lot of good things. That's not going to get you to heaven. It's another question. If you stood before a holy God at his gate, And he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, I did all those good things. I gave to the poor. I read my Bible. And my family was in, you know, church. And I went to church. That's not good. We have to put our trust, our faith, and our hope in Jesus Christ. That is what I told the man. He accepted the Lord. So please, whatever you do, do not leave here without inviting Jesus into your
heart. I have a question. The reason I came. Now you work with kids.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't want to tell you, but he works with kids now, so he gets to prevent them from being where he. A wonderful opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
God uses all things to work for you.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
I would like for your family to come
And we used those same things when we were in college, evangelism explosion. We'd ask people the same question. We'd go door to door, Pastor Doug and I. We were part of the same spiritual life club. We'd do that. Amen.
Now, if I could have everybody just stand up. What we're going to do is what I feel. We're going to pray. Father, right now, Jesus,
thank you.
Lord, we just thank you right now to release the anointing for breakthrough. Thank you, Father, that these hands are prepared for this good work. Let your oil flow right now, Father.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, let there be a divine impartation and a grace deposit right now, Father, to restore
and
to repair,
yes,
Father, and to renew in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that you bring her under subjection to your will. We, Lord, we just pray that she will be blessed, that she will be healed, that her mind will react quickly, Lord God, that these things that have been done will no longer exist in her mind, in her feelings, Lord God. Repair them right now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord God, that you have gone before her. We thank you, Lord God, that you are her healer. That you died on the cross, that you shed your blood, Lord God, for her healing. We thank you, Lord God, by your stripes, she is healed, body, soul, mind, and spirit, Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify
you
in Jesus' mighty name. Now walk in your healing. Walk in your obedience. We thank you.
Hallelujah.